Hello, everybody, and Merry Christmas from my family to yours. Right now, you're at home. Maybe you're getting a few things, last-minute things, ready for Christmas. I hope that you're able to relax a little bit and enjoy the season. Maybe there's some presents underneath the tree. When we think of Christmas and the presents that we give out, has there ever been a present that you've just wanted for a really long time? Maybe something that you wished for, something that just never came. Maybe it was something that was expensive, that even though you wanted, the people that love you and yourself, you just can't quite afford. I know for myself, every year the kids ask me what I want for Christmas, or maybe if it's even at my birthday, and kind of jokingly I said, yeah, I want a new car. Obviously, that's something that I'm not going to get, but it's fun to ask for anyways. Maybe at Christmas, that thing that you've wanted for a really long time just doesn't come. Maybe it's just because it's a little bit rare or you can't find it. Maybe it's something from the past that you can't find anymore. Maybe it's something from even a different region of the country or world that you can't get your hands upon. When I think of things that maybe we just can't get, that we want. I know for some of you that are out there listening, you know, every winter comes along or Christmas comes along and you do a trek to somewhere that's just a little bit warmer than here in Canada. And that's just a gift that you can't have this year. You are stuck here in the cold, in the snow with the rest of us. For myself, when I think of gifts that I've wanted in the past, but maybe didn't quite happen. I remember when I was a kid, maybe 7 years old, there was a gift that I wanted, a toy. It was an Optimus Prime Transformer, and I wanted it for several years, didn't quite come, and I remember thinking about it and dreaming about playing with it, and then finally 1 year it came, and I was overjoyed and ecstatic. Tonight, as we've had our scripture readings, one of the people that shows up in the Christmas story that we don't talk about very often is this man named Simeon. By the time he shows up in the Christmas story, he's an old man. And he's had a wish, a gift, if you want to say it like that, that he's wanted a really, really long time. But the gift or the thing that he desires most, it's not a toy. It's not a new car. It's not even a vacation to a warm climate. The gift that he's been waiting for and desiring for an incredibly long time is the gift of the Messiah, the gift of a Savior, someone that would come and that would change the world. He was looking for a Savior, someone that we all desire. There are three things that when we read about Simeon in his story that stick out. We're going to go over that tonight. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30, Simeon says when he comes across Jesus, as Jesus is being brought to the temple for his dedication, he finally lays eyes upon the very person that he's been waiting for and wishing for his entire life. And when he finally realizes that this is the one, that this is the chosen one, the Messiah, he says, I have seen your salvation. He's looking up to God and he's praying to God and he says, I've seen your salvation. Salvation isn't just an experience, although it can be that, but salvation is a person. Simeon hadn't really seen Jesus do anything yet. He was just a little baby, and yet he was able to say he has seen and experienced salvation. Part of it is because salvation is more than an experience, but it's specifically in this instance, it is a person. He looked with the eyes of faith, not with what Jesus had done because he was just a little baby, but he looked with eyes of faith to what Jesus was going to be and what he was going to do. We can look at the world that we live in right now in 2020, and we can hope for change. We can hope for circumstances to be different. We can look for our own type of salvation. But the greatest change and hope that you can have doesn't come with a circumstance, but it comes with a person. It comes with Jesus. Here in 2020, we can also be like Simeon, and we can look with eyes of faith. We look to the past with what Jesus has done in the past, and we are able to have faith that what we've read is true. But we also look towards the future. We look with eyes of faith to what Jesus is going to do in our lives, in the future, and in the world that we live in. The second thing that Simeon says within this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, he says, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. He looked at Jesus and he realized that he was going to not just reveal God to the Jewish nation, but he was going to reveal God to the world, that Jesus is a light to reveal God to all of us. For all humanity, when we look at history, humanity has looked to the supernatural. We've looked for gods. We've created gods, oftentimes within our own image. There is desire within us to know God and to know the supernatural. We see God and his truths revealed in all of creation. In fact, when we search the cultures of the world, we can see truths that God has revealed to us in all cultures of the world. But what made Jesus so special was that it was God coming down to earth in the flesh, like one of us, to show us who God really was, to become clarity for us to be able to even relate to God. And relating is important. I think that's why oftentimes comedy is so popular. We flock to and we listen on TV or on the internet to different comedians, and we just want to hear them talk. And oftentimes it's because they're able to talk about life's experiences, just everyday things that we go through, things that we relate to, and they're able to put to words the comedy of it all. One of the people that Catherine and I enjoy watching and listening to is Jim Gaffigan. And I think one of the reasons why Jim Gaffigan is so funny is he's really is able to just take the everyday experiences and the everyday things of life, and he reveals the hilarity of it all. He makes it relatable to all of us. And this is what made Jesus so special, is that he was God in everyday human flesh, not to just teach us the things of God. There have been many prophets that have come along throughout history that have taught us the things of God. But Jesus, he came to reveal to us who God was really like. We're able to touch him and feel him and hear his voice. God in the flesh. Relatable to us. And the third thing that Simeon talks about is this. He says he has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. When he looked at Jesus, this little baby boy, he spoke into his life and said, this little baby has been sent as a sign from God, and many are going to oppose him. Jesus' arrival created opposition. When we look at this, he wasn't talking about the present tense so much, but he was referring to the future, the opposition that was going to come through the life of this baby boy. When we look at the story of Christmas, it didn't take too long for this to happen. King Herod shows up on the scene, and he opposes Jesus. Right from the beginning, he saw Jesus as a threat to his rule. He saw Jesus as a threat to his lordship, to his kingship. He wasn't about to give up what he had to an unknown baby. Every Christmas, we sing that song, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. We sing it, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Let's come to the manger scene and let's look upon Jesus and let's adore him. When we come and adore Jesus, it's easy to come and look at a nice, pretty little baby boy and say, oh, what a beautiful boy. It's easy to read the story and say, what a nice story. And then we move on. Herod didn't come and adore Jesus because he knew that there was so much more connected than just a nice little baby boy. He knew that there was so much more at stake than meets the eye. He understood that to come and adore Jesus meant to bow his knee to a new king. He knew that to come and adore Jesus was to recognize the lordship and the kingship of Jesus. And for him, there was a lot at stake when it came to that. Coming and adoring Jesus. For us to come and adore him, to truly recognize his lordship, requires something from us too. There's something within the human spirit that fights against any type of authority that would tell us what to do or what to think or even how to live. And so when we come to the manger scene and we come to adore Jesus, do we recognize his lordship in our lives? Not just a pretty baby, not just a nice story, but his lordship. And we struggle with this aspect of lordship. We oftentimes oppose Jesus as well because we want to be kings. We want to be Lord of our lives. And this has not been more seen than throughout this COVID period as government authorities have been coming in and telling us how to live, and we fight against it with everything that we have because we want to do what we desire to do. And this is why Jesus is such a polarizing figure. Within the world, his ethics and his teachings have been accepted as brilliant. Overall, people consider Jesus to be a likable person. We want to like Jesus. And yet, if we truly know who Jesus is, there's something within us that wants to oppose him because he claims to be God. It wasn't just people around him that claimed it, but he claimed it himself. And it is a fairly arrogant claim if he isn't God. It causes us to either accept it, which creates a lot of change within our lives, or reject it and move on because of his claims. The claims of Jesus and his life was opposed from the beginning. When we look at Herod, we might be like him. Herod opposed Jesus in a very confrontational manner, very violent manner. And people have opposed Jesus like this for hundreds of years. But maybe that's not you. We can oppose Jesus in other ways as well, though, with our mental capacity, our emotional capacity, where we just reject him, where we walk away from him, where we maybe ignore him. My guess is that most of us would fit within this category. Sometimes even for those that would consider themselves Christians, that we accept him mentally, and yet in reality, we ignore him. Is Jesus welcomed in your life? Is he welcomed as king in your life? Jesus, when we think of his life, when we think of Christmas, we think of a candle. We think of light. As Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'd encourage you at home, if you have a candle, if you've gathered your Christmas Eve candles together, to use that right now. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." When we allow that light into our lives, it changes everything. But typically, it doesn't just stay with us. You know, we take our little candles and we go to the main light, which represents Jesus. It's not just a candle, but it's fire. Fire catches. And Jesus meant for this light that is represented with his life to catch fire in your heart, in your life, and be passed on to others. That it would not just make a difference in you, but it would make a difference in your community, in your neighbors, in your friends. Do you have the light in your life? I would encourage you to think about that this season. No matter where you are at, he is knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying, will you let me in? Will you let me in, not just for a moment, not just for the Christmas season, but I want to walk with you and give you light for the rest of your life.